It's really good to be here with you guys today. I did notice a few long faces worshiping with us in the crowd today, and I'm assuming some of these long faces were wearing Oregon Ducks jerseys yesterday. We're hurting for you guys. If you need a hug after the gathering, we're here for you. It's so good to be here with you guys, sharing God's word. And let me just pray for us for a moment. Father, we're grateful people. Your goodness is so evident in our life, and your word is powerful in our lives. I pray today, I ask you that when we open your word, you would speak to us, you would shape us, you would challenge us, that your word would just be illumination and revelation to us. And Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we celebrate you in your name. Amen. So several years back, I find myself with my wife volunteering at a food bank in downtown Albuquerque called the Roadrunner Food Bank. And it was a great night. It was a room not too unlike this one, kind of a warehouse. There's food everywhere, and we were helping. We were volunteering. We were sorting through food, working with other volunteers. We were boxing it up for families in need and for young people in need, and it was such a fun night. I really love the cause. I love what Roadrunner Food House was doing. And it was a great event, but there was one kind of caveat to this for us. For my wife and I, a couple months previous to us going and serving at this food bank, we actually got an email from Disneyland. And we kind of like Disneyland. I think in the years that we've been married, we've actually been to Disneyland 6 times, and only half those times with our kids. So don't judge. Don't judge. It's a lot of fun without your kids, just saying. And in this email, they're wanting to get people more involved in serving in their local communities. And so they had said that if you serve at one of these nonprofits that's on their list in your local area, we'll actually give you free tickets to Disneyland. So we, needless to say, we're intrigued. We were excited. Fast forwarding back to the night that we're serving, we are really excited. We're happy. We're putting stuff in boxes, and kind of this mixed feeling of both kind of guilty, but kind of excited at the same time. And we were there to help and to support the system and to be a part of generosity in our city. But in a more real way, we are also kind of there for Disneyland tickets. Have you ever found yourself in that place where you're serving? You're loving, you're volunteering, you're giving, but maybe you've forgotten why you're doing those things. Or maybe the motivation has drifted over time. Or maybe you're even doing those things and your heart's in a completely different place and you're almost kind of doing them for the wrong reasons. In the words that we're going to hear today from Jesus, he's engaging a crowd of people who are having this very experience. Who are engaged in generosity, who are engaged in his work, but really their hearts are in a completely different place. And so my hope today that as we read these words and as we read how Jesus engaged them, that it actually speak to us and challenge us. You would know that we're in this series called Becoming Human, and over the last few months we've been journeying through the book of Matthew, and we're looking at the words that Jesus spoke, the words that he taught and what he said. We're looking at the things that Jesus did, how he served, how he engaged with people. And we're looking at the life that he lived, how he engaged with the Father and how he was worshipful. And we're looking at all these things with Jesus and learning how to become more fully human. How to become the humanity that God intended when he created us. And specifically, as we've been going through the book of Matthew these last few weeks, we've been going through this passage called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a sermon delivered by Jesus that spans 3 chapters in Matthew. Most scholars actually believe this sermon was around 20 to 25 minutes long, so not a very long sermon, but certainly the most impactful message that humanity has ever heard. The most important message that humanity has ever heard. Jesus is describing his Father's kingdom. What his Father's kingdom is like. What it's like to be a part of his Father's kingdom. How he's invited us into his Father's kingdom in this Sermon on the Mount. And today, one of the truths that will emerge as we look at these words of Jesus is simply this. He's going to communicate to us that his Father desires that his people display his character through generosity. That the Father desires that his people are displaying his character through authentic and true generosity. Now, today you're going to hear this word. When we're talking about the character of God, one of the words the Bible uses and one of the words you may have heard in church before is this word called righteousness. And it's a word that we use to communicate the character of God because God is righteous. He's of moral superiority. He's perfect in all he does. And he's desiring for us to communicate his righteousness, his character to this world through generosity. So righteous and generosity, these words that we're going to hear today. And as we hear this message unfolding even further, this Sermon on the Mount, you might be feeling a little bit of that tension and that pull. Maybe if you've been here the last few weeks, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a challenging sermon and a challenging message, right? And I just want to encourage you to let you know that it's very likely that people around you are experiencing the same kind of challenge, that you're not alone in that. And certainly the people who are hearing this message, the hearers of the Sermon on the Mount, were feeling that same kind of tension and that same kind of challenge. Because Jesus is speaking to a people who have been called to represent the character of God through generosity, but they've kind of wandered from that motivation. They've kind of drifted from that call. And to understand this, I want us to look at this passage in Genesis chapter 12. And this is really the beginning of the Jewish people, of the nation of Israel, started with who they call their patriarch, Abraham. And these are the words that God spoke to Abraham. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. At the end of the next verse, he says that all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So we see from this passage that God's design, his intent from the beginning of calling people his own, was to make his character known through the world by generosity of his people. This was his design. And we see that in this, as Jesus is going to challenge these people who are hearing this word, who have drifted from this reality, that he's not just simply challenging their actions, what they're doing, he's challenging their heart. So in this Sermon on the Mount, as we're going to read today, Jesus didn't come with a whole new list of to do and don't do and behave this way and modify this. He comes challenging their heart. You know, one of the ways that I kind of understand this concept is as a father. As Tim mentioned, I happen to be the dad of three little girls. They are 11-year-old, 8 years old, and 3 years old. And I would say that actually I'm the father of 3 and a half because the 3-year-old counts for 1 and a half. She's pretty busy. She's pretty wild. And as a father, we had posted, my wife and I have this these family values that we posted. I actually pulled this off of one of their walls as I was coming here today. And these are just simple values that we have in our household that help us communicate the culture that we're trying to create. And they're simply this. First, to love Jesus with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. And at the end of the day, that's what I hope for my kids, that they love Jesus with all their heart, their mind, and their strength. Secondly, treat everyone with kindness and respect, even your sister, even though it's really hard to do, I know. Treat everyone with kindness and respect. Third, be brave and do your best to empower them, to go, be brave, to try new things and do their best. And then lastly, grace is always best. So we have these values on our walls that we're trying to live out. And really the point of having this isn't to have a list of rules that my kids mindlessly adhere to. Although sometimes I'll admit I would settle for that. What we're really trying to accomplish here is we're really trying to shape their hearts. We're really trying to mold who they are becoming. So that the values described on this paper become their actions because it's who they are, not because it's the rules. And when we read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't come with a whole new set of rules and ways for us to behave and to modify our behavior. He came with a message of transformation of the heart. And today, as we talk about this idea of righteousness and of generosity and how God desires us to make his righteousness and his character known to the world through generosity, Jesus is talking about issues of the heart. So let's read his words, starting in Matthew 6, verse 1. Jesus says this, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. if you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Jesus begins this portion of the Sermon on the Mount with a warning by saying, being careful of these ulterior motives, of practicing righteousness, of practicing generosity before people with the intent of being seen by them, with the intent of establishing your own righteousness before them and not your Father who is in heaven. Now, as we read this, something that's important for us to kind of grasp and to realize is at this time, these people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, are actually a conquered and defeated people. They are under the control of Rome. They are occupied by Roman soldiers. Rome is dictating how they live, what they can do. They've lost their sense of nation. They've lost their kingship. They've lost all these things that have kind of defined them. And the one thing that they have that still is unique to them and defines them is their religion. And so they're holding on to this form of religion and going through the motions of doing these things, but it's not based on communicating the heart of God. It's not based on making God's righteousness known, but rather it's based on their identity and them holding on to this. And he says, listen, beware, be careful not to practice your righteousness in these acts that I've called you to before men, just so they'll see you and just so they'll know you. He says in verse 2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. So he's describing generosity as a mechanism for garnering honor and righteousness of self. And he says that, listen, practicing your righteousness and generosity before others for the purpose of them seeing you, whatever accolades you get from them, that's the extent of it. Because this isn't the righteousness, this isn't the generosity that your Father who is in heaven is looking for. And he continues by saying, but when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. Jesus is describing what authentic generosity looks like in his dad's kingdom. And I think it's important to remember at this point, Jesus is a young man. He's 30-ish years old. In this patriarchal society, where the younger men and the younger women are supposed to sit to the side and be silent while the older men set the tone for culture and disseminate truth. And here's this young man who says, listen, but that's not what it's like in my dad's kingdom. In the kingdom of heaven, he desires to make his character known through authentic generosity. At the center of this passage, Jesus is saying the Father desires that his righteousness be made known through the way that we engage in authentic generosity. So then this question comes to the surface for me. What does that kind of generosity look like? What does it look like to live generosity in a way that it reveals the character of God and that it's authentic and it's true? So for the next few moments, I want to try to give some handles to this idea that Jesus is talking about, this kind of generosity that reveals the righteousness of God. And firstly, I think it's this. Generosity is a righteous gift. It's a righteous gift, meaning it's a gift attached to God's character, not to our character. Generosity is a righteous gift given without obligation, without social posturing, without agenda. Generosity is given without obligation, without social posturing, without agenda. Today is April 2nd, and it marks the two-week mark for tax day. And I'm sorry if that causes some anxiety. Some of you were hopefully forgetting that, but it's upon us. It's coming. And I did our taxes this last week or so and got all of our papers, spread them out on the table. And I do our taxes, which is kind of like playing roulette. Like, I never know what's going to happen. We might get money back. We might be paying money. The IRS might come arrest me sometime. It's always a risky endeavor. But I did our taxes to the best of my ability. And at the end of the process, it said that we owe the state of Oregon some money. So I get the checkbook out, and I begin writing to the state of Oregon and filling in the money. And as I'm writing out this check, I can tell you the emotion in my heart isn't righteous gift. It doesn't feel like generosity, like this really inspiring moment. It's an obligation, right? It doesn't feel like something I want to do. It feels like something I have to do, or else they're going to put me in jail. Jesus is inviting us and describing a form of generosity that is not attached to obligation. Paul, when he writes to the church in Corinth, he writes these two letters to them, and they're a young church, a church plant who are learning how to follow Jesus, and he writes to them about a lot of different topics, and one of them being generosity, and he says that when you engage in generosity, that it shouldn't be from a place of reluctancy or a place of compulsion, that it's not attached to this obligation that I'm reluctantly doing what I have to do. Like when I make my daughters apologize to each other, but they're really not sorry yet, and they just kind of go through the motions. It's not about reluctancy or compulsion. In fact, the word he used to describe the right heart posture is cheerful. This generosity that flows from a cheerful place in our hearts. My family has this restaurant, this fast food chain that we really like going to. And we started going there probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I noticed the first few times that we went that whether you go through the drive-thru or you check out inside at the little booth area, they always say the same thing at the end of the transaction. They say, it's my pleasure. And I kind of took note to that because that sounds like the 1950s. I'm like, oh, that's nice. I like that. It's my pleasure. All right. And from that point on, we've actually been to this restaurant a lot, probably more than we should have gone to it. And we've been to it in other cities, and we've been to it in other states, and guess what? They all say the same thing. Man, it's my pleasure. And I'm starting to grow suspicious that it's not actually their pleasure to fry my food. I'm starting to grow suspicious that they're just obligated to say this because that's what their boss told them, and that's what that guy's boss, you know, and so on. And when generosity comes from a place of obligation, when it comes from a place of have to, it doesn't convey heart. It doesn't convey the character of God. When we engage in generosity because we're obligated to, it doesn't reveal the character of God. So generosity is this righteous gift given without obligation and given without social posturing. Social posturing is this idea that we kind of create our place in society. We kind of have our own press releases and our own way of morphing how people see us and how we want to be known. And giving, righteous giving, is generosity given without social posturing. In verse 2, Jesus says, "And when you give, don't announce it with trumpets." And most scholars believe that this isn't literal. That it's hyperbole, but the idea is that as these people are engaging in generosity, they want to make sure someone somewhere knows about it, that someone somewhere is seeing how they're being generous, and that it's actually forming how people see them, and it's actually creating a space for them in society of being a generous person and being a righteous person. This idea of social posturing as a motivation for generosity. I heard this story a while back of this business that stepped into a city, and they stepped into a neighborhood, an impoverished neighborhood, and found this dilapidated park. And this business had lots of means, and so they stepped in, and with a few $1,000, they actually fixed the park up. They put in new equipment and put down new sod and painted things and cleaned up the trash and made this really great space for kids to play. That sounds great. Man, that sounds like generosity, But then in the months to come, they actually made a commercial kind of capturing how generous they were. And then they spent a lot of money producing this commercial and making sure that it was aired kind of throughout the U.S. And when it all came out, it was kind of discovered that, like, they actually spent a few $1,000s fixing up this park and then tens of $1,000s kind of telling the story of how they fixed up this park. And I think when you look at that in whole, you can say, wow, I mean, it's nice that they fixed up the park, but I think that was more of a happy byproduct of what they were really trying to accomplish, which is with this idea of social posturing, of creating this posture in society by using generosity. We are invited by Jesus to engage in generosity that reveals the heart and the character of God rather than our kingdom. We're invited to engage in this generosity that is motivated by spirit rather than motivated by flesh. So generosity is this gift given without obligation, without social posturing, and without agenda. Meaning there's times that Jesus invites us to be generous, whether that's giving, whether that's serving. He invites us to be generous, and we really don't have control of the outcome. You know, we live in a city that has a lot of poverty, and some of the people who are experiencing poverty in our city are so impoverished they actually find themselves living on the streets. And I'll just be honest, I don't always know how to engage that population of our city generously. I don't always know how to do it right, how to do it effectively. And there's been times that I've had someone ask me for money and they need it for the train or they need it to call someone or whatever. And I give them the amount that they're asking for to hear them turn around and ask someone else for the same amount of money. And I kind of walk and be like, I don't know if that helped. I don't know if that meant anything. There's been other times I felt God kind of spurring me through his spirit to be generous to someone. And I just, I'm not sure. And I feel uncomfortable. And I kind of walk away from that moment. I think I might've missed it there. And I just don't always know. I had this thing happen to me a couple months ago where I was downtown West Side and I was meeting a friend for dinner who was really running late. And so I'm standing on the street, just kind of hanging out, waiting. And I'm confronted with someone who is impoverished and living on the street. And he asked for some cash. And I didn't have any cash. And so he said, well, how about we go into the grocery store that you're standing in front of and you can buy me some food. And I thought, well, that's reasonable. I think I'll do that. And so we go in there and he starts getting food and then he goes to another place and he starts getting more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. And the whole time he's like, is this okay? Is this all right? And he's getting things that humans need. He's getting a toothbrush and toothpaste and he's getting food and he's getting the basic necessities. And the whole time I'm like, man, yeah, why not get this stuff? And we had this great conversation at the end and I got an opportunity to kind of share what my hope is and why, you know, I'm hoping in Jesus and believing in Jesus. And I actually got a chance to pray for him. And then at the end of the conversation, he's holding these bags of food and essentials. And he says, oh, Adam, thank you. I'm going to take this to my three wives. And then he left. We don't get to control the agenda. Sometimes we're just invited to engage. Sometimes we're just invited to be generous. And we don't always get to control the agenda. And I'm reminded that there's a portion of generosity that is amongst community, that is we're seeing in our world and we're seeing need and it's horizontal. And then there's a portion of engaging in generosity that is always vertical, that it's always motivated because God is who he is and we represent a good God and we represent his good character. And so this idea of this righteous gift that represents the character of God, it's given without obligation, without social posturing, and without agenda. This generosity that Jesus is speaking about is giving with integrity. A real simple word, a definition of the word integrity is alignment between heart and actions. Meaning what I believe is what I find myself doing. And what I'm doing is a product of my heart and an outflow of my heart. In verse 2, in Jesus' word in the Sermon on the Mount that we read today, he says this, and don't give as the hypocrites. It's a pretty powerful word. Don't give as the hypocrites in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. He's saying, don't give in the way that the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets because they're really just desiring to be honored by people. And this word that he uses, hypocrites, it's actually different than the way we use the word. The word that he used there is actually attached to theater. It's actually attached to acting or to being an actor. And he's like, when you give, don't give as one of these actors who are performing before people to create honor for themselves. He invites us to give from the outflow of our heart, this generosity that reveals the character of God. N.T. Wright, in a commentary about this passage, says this, Jesus gives quite specific instructions about how to be sure of integrity, the outward appearance being matched by the inner reality. The outward appearance of generosity, this action of serving, a loving, of giving, being matched by the inward reality. This invitation to have generosity is an outflow of God's character within us. Generosity is giving with integrity. Generosity is a posture of seeing and responding to need around us. When we think about the life of Jesus, the Son of God, the one who came to rescue humanity, the form that he took, the posture that he took as a human was that of a servant. Mark 10:45, Jesus says of himself that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The one that we follow, the Savior that we claim, he came with the posture of a servant, of seeing and responding to need around him. And this is something that we're invited to individually, and it's something that we're invited to collectively. As a presence of the body of Christ in our city, to be a place that demonstrates and makes known the character of God by engaging in generosity and by seeing and responding to need around us. I recently got to connect and hear a story from one of our life groups here at Mosaic, and a life group led by a lady named Denise Palki. And it's a fantastic group. There's another lady in that group whose name is Laura, who teaches at an elementary school. It's one that I know about, and it's in a part of town where there are a lot of young people there who are impoverished. And she noticed, working at this elementary, that some of these kids would show up on really cold, really wet days and not have a coat, not have the right kind of shoes, and that some of these kids were living and sleeping in conditions where they didn't have blankets and it was very cold. And so she saw this need, and I know that feeling. How many times do we see that need and it's like, I wish it wasn't that way. Man, I wish we could fix things. I wish things would be different. I wish things would change. But then she takes this next step and she actually brings it to her life community. And they, in partnership with the rest of the church, they actually went out and bought and purchased a bunch of things that these young people would need and took it to them. And what I love about this story is the simple step of seeing the immediate need in her world and actually engaging it. To seeing the immediate need in her world and revealing the character of Christ by engaging it with generosity. And I think that this is something that we kind of have to wrestle with. This is something in my own life that I'm praying, Father, teach me to see need in my world and give me the courage to actually engage it. And sometimes this can seem like a theoretical thing that's far away for other people, or it can feel like something that we just do institutionalized by giving to a nonprofit or something. But many times I feel like God is inviting us to step into the need that's in our own world and actually engage it, revealing the character of God through generosity. And as I think about our posture in the city, in our call in the city to make the name of Jesus known, generosity is one of the vehicles that we get to communicate the character of God, not just by word, but also through our actions. That we're making the character of God known in our city by how we posture ourselves with generosity. So generosity is posturing of seeing and responding to need. And then lastly, generosity reveals the heart of God. Generosity reveals the heart of God. It reveals his character, it reveals his goodness, but it also reveals his heart. The way that he loves, the way that he reaches, the way that he has done everything to invite us into his family. Generosity reveals the heart of God. As Dana and I were getting ready to move to the Portland area, I was serving at a church in New Mexico, and as part of that, we were helping facilitate a leadership conference in Panama. And this was a leadership conference that happened twice a year for 3 years. So we had, you know, six installments where we'd go and do some teaching for some Panamanian leaders. And through the process of going and teaching and building community with all these Panamanians, after about my third or fourth time, I actually started sharing them the story that we felt like God was calling us to Portland as a family. And that we were really excited about this, but we were also kind of nervous and to be honest, also kind of afraid. We felt called to this place, but we had no relationships here, no connections, and weren't really sure what that meant and what it looked like. And one of my greatest fears, being the dad, being a husband, was how am I going to care for my family? How am I going to provide for my family by making this step? And Jesus, I believe that you want this, but it seems really scary and we're needing to trust you. And so I'm kind of being authentic with this the Panamanians in this leadership environment. I'm sharing this, and then this is a morning session, and so we break for lunch, and during lunchtime we're eating and kind of resting for a moment in the back. And the people who are part of the conference, they decide to take up an offering for us, for this work that we wanted to do. And no one asked them to do it. It wasn't a pastor's idea. It just was initiated within the group. And so they take up this offering. And then at the end of the conference, they invite me to come back up on stage. And Dana happened to be there. My wife happened to be there. So they invited her to come up too. And they said, hey, we believe that God has asked you to do this. We believe in you guys. And so we decided to take up this offering for you. And in Panama, they use the U.S. currency. And the average Panamanian makes somewhere between $400 and $600 a month. So it's not a wealthy nation. Actually, there's a lot of poverty there. And when he said that they decided to take up an offering for us, it just didn't make sense. It felt overwhelming and strange. And then the person who was on stage handed me this wad of money that ended up being almost $2,000. And it was crinkled up ones and fives. It wasn't given from people's discretionary funds. It wasn't given from a large budget. It was sacrificially given. It was people's ride home. It was people's lunch and maybe their dinner. And I held that money and we just wept. I mean, what do you say in that environment? How do you respond? And I felt overwhelmed. And I didn't feel overwhelmed because I was thinking about some budget item that now we could take care of. Oh, whew, good. I was wondering how we were going to pay for that. I didn't feel overwhelmed even by the generosity of these Panamanians who I'd come to love and had become such beautiful people. I felt overwhelmed because in that moment, the heart of God was revealed to us. And I felt him say so clearly, Adam, you can trust me. I mean, I can make streams of provision flow from a financial desert. You can trust me. Through that simple act of generosity, the heart of God, the way he felt about us, was revealed. And today, as we continue in our worship and we come to this table, I hope that we all realize that this table represents the generosity of God revealing his heart towards us. This represents the ultimate act of generosity, the ultimate gift given, and reveals the heart of a God who is absolutely loving and who has reached to the furthest extent to invite us into his family. And so as we approach the table, I invite you to come with that kind of invitation, celebrating this generous God and realizing that this is his heart. He's made himself known to us. And I also challenge you as you come to this table today to come with this simple prayer to the Father. Father, where are you leading me to reveal your character and your heart through generosity? Father, where are you leading me? Where are you empowering me to make your heart and your character known in this city by engaging in this authentic generosity? Father, we love you. We celebrate that as your heart is revealed, we see your heart is full of love and affection and goodness towards us. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you that you have invited us to be your representation, to make your heart and your character known. Father, we love you. In your name, amen.